Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuk Show. And of course, yeah, I just heard a siren go by and go, what an introduction for my guest tonight. I am so excited. I should have just invited this man over to my house so we could have had it in live studio here. But I'm so super excited with my guest tonight. Oh my gosh, I hope you guys can feel the energy. Can you feel the love? Oh, well, first of all, we already know it's Happy Hump Day because half the week's over and tomorrow's my Friday. So I'm very ecstatic about that. But the man that I'm having as a guest tonight is one of my film brothers. I am so excited. When he gets on here, you guys are going to hear all the ecstatic electricity and hope my energy doesn't short-circuit any electronic equipment. I've been known to do that when I get wicked excited. I do it at work. I've done it on film sets, so I'm trying to bring my energy down a little bit here. So my special guest tonight is Bill McLean, but on his Facebook page, it's Bill Freight Trane McLean. The man himself, I can read a little bit about his bio I'm going to bring up. I've been lucky enough to actually been able to get to work with him a couple times, and our signature pose is a sack of potatoes pose. We have many poses working on film sets, and he throws me over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes, and I don't know what it was. I found out he had trained in martial arts, and anyway, to start off, here's his bio that he himself wrote. Bill McLean started acting in 1990. He is from a small town in Maine, and he was raised poor and learned to appreciate work and how to make a dollar go far. When in small groups, Bill tends to be in the center of the conversation without being pushy. He's a big ham. I got to tell you, people, he ain't being pushy. He's a big hand, and he is a flirt. Let me tell you, Bill McLean is a flirt, and he loves to act, write, and produce films. Acting comes first. If you look at the IMDb page under Bill Stephen McLean, he has a lot of credits being built up in Hollywood films right down to no-budget films. He is best known for being professional and treating others with respect. Well, I personally know him as Brother Bill. Just the chemistry we have on set is just undeniably, like, crazy. And we just have a fun time when we're on set. And I got to work with him a few times. But if you actually go to his IMDb page, you can check him out. But here's some of, I'd like to bring up some of the, just reading some of the credits, because it's a long list, and I'm going to probably ask him some questions. Oh, my gosh, Bill, what haven't you done? He's done stunts. Resume, let's see, 2012, You Can't Kill Stephen King. It's his winner best feature film. Scooter McGruder. I was going to talk about that when I get on air. it was winner best feature film 2011. I was actually in a scene in that as a game show contestant. And my big sister, Charlie, was on the same scene with me. And we actually filmed it in a church. And I think I scared some of the people in the audience members because maybe I should, like, Bill explain it in his own words. So I'm just going to look in the queue. And, ladies and gentlemen, let's see. I'm just making sure, just checking some things, you know, like Santa Claus, checking things twice here, trying to get everything all wrapped up and see if to bring my guest on the air. Let's see. This possibly could be him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness, it's Shelly Nunchucks.
Oh, my goodness, it's Bill McLean. Or should I say Bill Freight Train McLean? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm just thankful tomorrow's my Friday. I'm like, hallelujah.
Tomorrow's your Friday. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I work extra long hours Monday through Thursday so I can work on everything else. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to? Let's catch up. We need some tea and crumpets here or something.
Yeah, I've been a busy boy. The past 2 years have been very, very full for me, and that's a good thing.
So what, well, let's see, because I was telling the listeners, let's start off and get, let's get about your life, how you, like, got into films and then work our way up to how you met Shelly Nunchucks and worked with me on set, okay?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, how
okay,
I started in film, was I was in Montana. I was stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base, and I was working in the missile silos for the Air Force. And it was really boring out there. Pretty much all you could do is hunt and fish, and there's only so much that you can take. So a buddy of mine's like, hey, let's rent one of those newfangled video camera things. So we went down and rented one, because back then they were the new technology. And we rented a video camera. We started goofing around with it. Next thing you know, we shot a movie.
Oh, and so did anything happen with the movie, or was it just something you guys did?
Something we just did, and then we, of course, all got out of the military, went our separate ways, and then 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, my daughter Chelsea, who loves to do editing and photographs, stuff like that, she found all the footage tucked away in the closet in a box. And she went ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
She went ahead, took it out, uploaded it to the new, you know, from the old video to the new, you know, DVD type, you know, electronic, and put it on the computer. And next thing you know, she edited the whole thing, added sound effects, gunshots, punching. Turns out it's a pretty funny little movie.
So do you have this on YouTube or anything? What, can you tell me what the name of it is? Or
It's called Search for the Holy Grail. Was a joke, of course, on Search for the Holy Grail, mm-hmm. which is Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not sure if I've uploaded. I thought I uploaded it to YouTube. I think if you go to Bill McLean 1968, that's my channel 68? On YouTube. Bill McLean 1968. It's my YouTube channel. It's called the McLean Comedy Show. I think it's on there in one of the videos anyway. Just mind you, huh. I'm 19 years old in this film, so may scare you.
So, are you like a scrawny little mutt or something? You said 19, so I'm sitting there trying to pitch you.
Yeah, I'm 19 or 20. Yeah, 19, 20 years old. I'm in the military. I'm in pretty good shape. Okay, I was pretty hot.
Oh, listen to you. See, I told people before you came on the show, I was reading your bio, and it says, you know, about treating with people with respect, and I go, yeah, a little bit center of attention and also a big flirt. You are.
Now I'm just an old guy.
Nah, you're not doing too bad. You can't be that much older than me.
I'm 45 this year.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're only going to be 2 years older than me. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. You make it sound like you're old and decrepit and have, like, a foot in the grave. Now, cut that out.
Well, you're all right. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you better be doing okay. How's everything going? How are you feeling and stuff?
I'm doing pretty well. Had a bout with Lyme disease a couple years ago, and I lost an entire summer of filming.
I remember that.
Dropped off the radar, and I kind of dropped off the radar. Everybody's like, you know, what happened to Bill? Where is he? The worst part of it was I was about a month from being fully recovered, and I could walk for maybe 5 minutes. You know, I could stand up for maybe 10. I was getting better, but I wasn't 100%. And I got offered a film role of a lifetime with some wonderful people up in Augusta. Chris Walters is in the film, this particular film, and it's called HRQ State of Mind, and it was a buddy film, a gangster buddy film, and I've always wanted to play a tough guy mobster buddy film type thing, but I literally had to turn it down because I couldn't stay upright for more than 20 minutes, and I didn't want to get to the set. Yeah, I didn't want to get to the set and hold everybody up and, you know, just try and fight my way through it. So I turned it down. It bummed me out. They really wanted me in it, too, so I really felt good that they wanted me. And then once I did get a lot better, it just burned me that much more to get back into it hard.
Yeah, because I didn't hear for you a while and nothing, no Facebook, no nothing. I'm like, what the heck happened to Bill? And I thought you, like, totally gave up. Like, you know how, like, people, like, you know, they fall off and they just never get into acting ever again.
Yeah, they just, bye-bye. No, I mean, there were days when I literally couldn't walk across the living room. My son, Ben, thank God I have a son, because he literally had to carry me or help me walk around the house most of the time, most of the day. So he got much stronger that year. He got a lot stronger carrying my fat old butt around.
Oh, yeah, I know Ben. He's a sweetheart, and, you know, we'll be able to talk about, you know, him picking on you and the Scooter Magruder. That was awesome. It was just so awesome. And so, you know, how did you get more, I know after the service and you doing that one film, what made you get more into films and such? How did you get more into that? Did you do stage? I mean, I know another thing, too, your background. Can you talk a little bit of your background in your martial arts, or is that off topic, or?
No, it's the first question you asked, how to get more into it. I got out of the military, came home, went to work for an RV company because I knew, you know, electrical, refrigeration, power distribution, stuff like that. Boring stuff, but, you know, it's stuff you need to know, to learn to live. And I started working for this RV company, and my wife Tiffany's dad owns the place. Now I guess they both own it, so it's a good family business. And started working there, and then 3 years in, I got a phone call from a film company, and they're like, "Hey, we're a film company. We were wondering if we could rent one of your RVs." And so I talked to them and did what I could, and then my buddy's like, "Hey, let's go down and try out. Let's go down to be extras." So we went downtown Lewiston, stood in line. We were four blocks away from the building with that many people in the line. I mean, I've never seen this long a line before. And I'm standing there with my buddy, Eric Liming, and this guy comes out. He's got this headset, and he's walking up and down the line. And he looked at me, and I stared right at him. He walked right up to me. And I stared him down. He walked right up to me. He pulled me out of the line and took me in the building. And next thing you know, I've got a speaking role in my first real film.
Oh, my gosh. Which one was that? Is that – well, I forget the guy's name, Tony – I keep thinking
Tony Atlas
Blair,
was
something.
In that with me. Yeah, it was called Shadow Glories when it was released. It had a limited release, 45 theaters in New England, and then it was picked up by a film company, and now it's called The Fight.
Because I'm just trying to think. I sound familiar. Is it anything to do with action? Because if it has something to do with action, I probably would have heard of it.
It's an independent film about a female kickboxer who, you know, wants to be more than just the world's best female kickboxer. So she ends up getting a fight with the male heavyweight champion as like a promo fight. You know, it's supposed to be like a joke, but she takes it seriously. So very interesting film.
So after that film, what went on after that film? What did you do after that?
Well, strangely enough, I kept getting phone calls. It's just that guy's college buddy called me up, put me in a film. That guy's college girlfriend called me up, put me in a film. Next thing you know, I've got six films under my belt, and I've never done an extra. You know, I've got six speaking roles in a matter of 3 years. It was crazy. So at that point, I started saying, well, maybe I was meant for this, and I just decided to go for it. I started going to auditions, things like that, and I am today.
Now, did you ever do theater, or did you just do films? I mean, what did you do?
That's actually kind of funny. I'm a little backwards. You're supposed to do theater first and then, you know, get into film. But I never did any theater until about 6 years ago, and I was terrified, you know, because being on set's different than being in front of a live audience. And I went down to try out for this play, and really didn't expect to get a part. It was a really rough tryout. The guy that was directing is an Englishman. His name is Mike Clements, and he's literally from England. He moved to Maine, I think, about 9 years ago, 9-10 years ago. And he's sitting there. He gives out the papers, and it's finally my turn. I get up on the stage. He says, "Well, I want you to read, and I want you to use this type of accent." So I read the part. I did the English accent, and he goes, "Well, I say, how about this one? Tighten this one. Read it, and I want this kind of accent." So he ended up making me do. He made me read five different parts using five completely different English accents, and when I was done, the fifth one, he read. And just as I thought that, he looks me square in the eye and says, "Roy, I've seen enough of you. Get off my stage."
He just told me to get off the stage.
I walked off the stage, went to the truck, drove straight home, came inside, and my family's like, you don't look so happy. What happened? I'm like, he told me to get off his stage. So
why?
It was a very interesting start to that. And then, wait for it, 20 minutes later, my phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's the director. He says, "I'd like to offer you the lead role in the play."
Oh!
How crazy is that?
Oh, my gosh!
No.
That is totally off the wall. Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you, baptized in fire. He scared the crap out of me, totally took the wind out of my sails, and I went home. And so I said, well, let me think about it. I'll tell you in the morning. And he was surprised. The phone went dead. He said, what do you mean? I'm offering you the lead role. I said, yeah, well, let me think it over. I'll call you tomorrow. So the next day I called him back. I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And went on stage. I've been in 9 plays now in the past 6 years. They take a lot of time, but they're so worth it. The live audience is amazing, and people
yeah.
have been very generous with me, and they let me do. I haven't had the same role in any of them. I've had so many different types of characters on stage. It's crazy, so I love it.
Oh, did you have a favorite character on stage at all? Was there anything that you remember the most? Something that you loved?
Well,
in a
tell you,
oh.
I had my most. I had 2 that were very, very difficult, but one was my favorite good guy, and the other would have to be my favorite bad guy. And the bad guy was directed by Mike Clements again. We're very good friends now, by the way. Mike does a lot of film stuff with me. I do a lot of stage stuff with him. And I played a bad guy named Harry Brock. And that play, I have never had to play a guy that just abusive and mean. It was so bad that in one part of the play, I have to slap down my co-star, who was a young female, and I beat her down into the stairs. And you could see, I could feel the hatred from the audience behind me. I mean, the place went totally quiet. And I could hear people sitting forward in their chairs like they wanted to get out of the chairs and just beat me.
Yeah,
that was my
I'd beat
favorite.
You too.
That was my favorite bad guy character because it was very difficult to do. And it'll mess with you for 5-6 weeks after the play. I kept talking like that guy. Not the exact voice, but the mannerisms. And my family kept going, what is it with you? And I kept getting back to play again. So it was a very disturbing character, but an amazing play. My favorite good guy was just in a short play. It was called Perfect Joe. Was down in Portland for the Acorn Theater Company and did some short stuff. And it was a bunch of short plays together for one big showcase. That was a lot of fun. Perfect Joe was definitely a good guy. He was a 1960s tough guy from Brooklyn and kind of rough on the edges, but really a great guy.
So you... You did some plays, too. So now, before I get more into the films, I want to know about the martial arts. How did you get into...
Why would you, Shelly Nunchucks, ask me about martial arts? I don't understand the question. Martial arts.
Understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Okay, Jackie.
You can call me Jackie. That's fine.
That's fine.
Shelly Jackie Chan Finn.
There you go. I've been doing them since 2000? Yeah, I started in 99. And I just wanted to do something different, wanted to get back into shape again. And I saw this advertisement in the newspaper, and I went over to Pelletier's in Lewiston. I went there for several years, got up to brown belt, brown 3, which is one shy of black belt, and then the film stuff started really taking off. I haven't really had time to go back. It's been a couple, 3-4 years, so still doing them at home and stuff, but it's a lot of fun. It's really good for you. Mm-hmm. It taught me to be even more coordinated than I was. For a fat old guy, I'm still pretty fast.
Will you stop calling yourself old? I'm going to have to find out exactly where you live, and I can do it. I will hitchhike on an 18-wheeler and find you, put my foot up your batootie or something and say, stop that. You are not that old. We are so close in age. Just because you're a little bit older doesn't mean you're old and decrepit. Now stop that.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I'm making people laugh. Your listeners are laughing. Either that or you're swearing at me.
No, well, I don't know. It depends. I can't hear my listeners. I mean, I have people in the chat room. Hi, everyone in the chat room. Everybody that's listening, thank you all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And as everyone can tell, you know, this is one of my film brothers, Bill. And I'd like to, you know, before getting to the films, I'd like to, as in your own words, you talk about our first picture of the Sack of Potatoes. How did this get started? I remember it was on some sort of set or something, and I don't even remember. I just remember, there it is. And
we were in Boston. We were in Boston, and you were on the set. We weren't filming. It was just a read-through of the script. And I'm trying to remember. I think it was Franco. Wasn't it Franco's movie?
I think it maybe was one of his films, and I can't remember how we started talking, and I actually put it in the queue, that picture on the set, and I was like, I think I want to see how strong he is. And I go, do you think you can swing me around like a sack of potatoes? And
it all started with the martial arts stuff, because you were saying something. You were saying something to somebody, and when I heard your nickname, Nunchuck, so I know you do martial arts, and we started talking about martial arts, if you remember. It was our first conversation. And you said, you know, capoeira and some other stuff. So then the girl that I was working with on the set that day, little tiny thing, Heather, she wanted to learn some self-defense moves, so I showed her a couple. You were very interested. You watched, and copied them. You had me show you a couple. I think towards the end of the day, I was really just kind of bored, and I threw you over my shoulder and walked you around for a bit.
Yeah, okay. Because it was so funny, and, you know, first time we met, I was like, yeah, I carried you around like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, I do that. I do that a lot on the set. I'll pick people up at random, and guys, girls, whatever. You know, John Seymour from the main studios, the Seymour film. He's what, 6'2", 6'3"? He's over 200 pounds. These days he's down. He's slimmed right down, but at that point he was around 2'5", 2'10". I threw him over my shoulders, carried him around on a set. So it was an awful lot of fun. It's just something that I do, kind of a signature thing. If I pick you up and check you over my shoulder, it means I like you.
Yeah! If we're like a bunch of vegetables, that means Bill McLean, he likes us. So... Let's get caught up with the films. Now, we'll talk about Scooter, that one, in a sec, but I want to know, the one that's in my head is, the one I think you won a couple awards for is something, what's it called, you Can't Kill Stephen King or some other, something.
Oh, yeah, You Can't Kill Stephen King. It's a full-length feature film. It's done by Clownfish Productions. It's not my company. I was lucky enough that they hired me to be a bad guy in the film, and it was really neat because these are film guys out of New York and L.A., and they came to Maine to shoot it because they knew that Stephen King hangs out on this lake in this little town in Maine during the summer, and we actually shot it on that lake right next to his cabin. So that was an awful lot of fun. I got a phone call, said, hey, we need you. They let me be the bad guy because of my resume, because I do choreography, stunts, fighting, all that stuff. And so on that film, You Can't Kill Stephen King, I'm the stunt choreographer. I do most of the stunts. I train the people in the fight scenes. It was a ton of fun. So it's kind of nice. I collected two or three paychecks for, you know, the same film because I got to do different things on it. So it was good. Okay. That film, by the way, was playing in Japan on the big screen a couple weeks ago. So it should be coming to America this fall.
Really? I mean, okay, wait a minute. It got filmed in America. It goes to Japan first and then coming to America?
It went overseas and went to a lot of different places, but just the last recent one is in Japan. It was playing on the big screen. It was purchased by... a major film company, one of the bigger film companies in the world, and it's Anchor Bay, UK. Everyone's heard of Anchor Bay Entertainment. This is Anchor Bay UK, the European branch of it. And being picked up by that was pretty awesome, because that means I'm in it. I'm in an Anchor Bay film now. So that was a really good boost to my career. Looking forward to it.
Anchor Bay. I think doesn't their little promo thing, it shows a little sailboat or something, you know, how it's like,
yes,
before the beginning of the film?
Yes.
Okay, then I know what it is. Yeah, okay. I know what it is.
So, yeah, pretty big company. It's nice to be in a film that got picked up by someone major like that.
That's awesome. I'm so happy that you're doing so many things. I know a bunch of you, like you and other people, I hope you guys really put Maine on the map.
I'm going to try and put Maine on the map. I'm also going to try and put New England on the map, because I don't just work with Mainers. I work with anyone from New England that wants to, you know, be a part of a project. And you know, if you're talented and you're fun to be around, I want you on my set. I want you in my film. So, you know, I try really hard. This last film, I better not get ahead of you. I'll let you ask the questions.
Oh, that's okay. I was like, there's not any set of rules or anything. And like I said, my show, you could be in your pajamas, you could be in your underwear, you could be on the toilet. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's radio.
Okay,
so
you want me, how could you have possibly known that I'm sitting on the toilet in my underwear?
I don't know. I wish I had that toilet song. The lady's sitting on the toilet. She goes, sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the toilet, you beat it over again. Now, flash.
I'm kidding. I'm not really on the toilet.
I didn't think you would, but, you know, it's radio. So it's like you could look like Who Did It and Ran. I mean, you could just be like whatever. That's the good thing about radio.
Exactly. You can be comfortable. What I was about to say was I like to work with anyone that wants to work. The last feature film that we cast for is called How to Kill a Zombie. And this film is coming along nicely. We are almost completely finished the rough edit. Once the rough edit is done, then we just do a few little smoothing things, and then we add the ADR stuff, the, you know, gunshots, the special effects that we have already on the film. And that's coming along nicely. We're hoping for a full release, you know, around Halloween. Spooky. And
yes!
This film, yeah, well, literally 100... show up casting call, and then the callbacks, we could only have 36 people for the callbacks. So out of those 165, we whittled it down to 36. They came to the callbacks at the same time, and then whittled them down to 11. And the cast has members, and we're gonna have fun with it. It's coming soon. So I hope you guys like action adventure comedy, because that's what this is. This is a comedy with a ton of action, and it's got zombies.
Come on, you're talking to Shelly Nunchucks. Come on now. You know, I've been so busy with things. It's like, you know, it seems like I've worked my film brothers, but I'm kind of branching out on my own. So I'm glad I got chances to like work with you and Z and. You know, I want to do my own things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You had that short film you were working on, The Dishwasher.
Yeah, it's trying to get the funds for that, and that's the thing that when I get that, because all I would need, I need like $500 for it, because the director is giving his time, and it's just for some expenses. I also, like the thing too, I mean, I've been approached by people, and this is the strange thing, and you know all the history about, like, whitewashing and stuff, right? I get approached. Now, the film is dedicated to someone who's Asian, is Chinese, right?
Jackie Chan.
So I'm not going to say names or anything, but they're like, oh, we'll help you distribute it, you know, distribute it and blah, 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 this and that. And I'm like, oh, this certainly sounds good. So I'm listening, and then the thing is they wanted to change things, and I'm going – I was like, oh, you know, better, thinking better director and this and that. I'm going, there's no way will I sell out this film, because it would be so wrong, because my director, he is Asian, and my two leads, the bad guys, they're Asian too, and they kind of wanted to turn them white. And I'm like, I'm just like, I can't do that. I mean, they probably would have got me way more money, but... You know, I still have the people on board. Anthony, you might have heard him, Huang. He's a stunt guy.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
a stunt
yeah.
Group. Yeah, he's my lead in saying the direct of saying Veritas, and they're from Boston, originally where I'm from, and they just, I got in touch with them again. They said they're still on board. So, you know, I was like, there's no way. I could not do that to them, and they says, we're still with you, Shelley. You know, when you get a phone, we understand. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe I'm lame. It's about honor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not looking to make awards with this. It's part of my heart. It's part of my soul that's going into it. And that's what it's about. And, you know, if I change it, it's going to lose that feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's film first and foremost. And film, you know, film shouldn't be about color. It shouldn't be about the color of your skin. It should be about the story. And, you know, get the best actors you can get for it. That's, I mean, I'll hire anybody. I don't care if you're, you know, purple, green, or yellow. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you can act and you have fun on the set, I'll put you in the film. So, you know, you do that.
Well, the other thing, too, you know, like, because you guys, like, you're more experienced than I am, but I've been meeting, like, I've been networking a lot with people in Hollywood, you know, masters that are out there and stuff, the people that have been in the business for many years. And they said, so it doesn't matter who you get for your film, the looks and stuff are not as important. I mean, sometimes some roles are, but it's your safety. You got to get the people that are going to, like, you know, that really know about safety. And that's why I ended up, I originally had someone else as the lead, but that's what I should have picked Anthony first. And I was like, you know what? Anthony has way more experience. And he went to stunt school. And I says, I think he would understand and appreciate, like, what I have in the plot and the director saying understand. So I says, that's who I'm sticking with. You know, I'm going to put my life into these people's hands. I mean, I'm not going to be able to do what Jackie does. But do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I think it's like based maybe on look, but experience and who's going to be the most safest people that I can work with. Because it doesn't matter how much
correct.
Money you safety's, have.
Safety is paramount on the set. That's the... When we did How to Kill a Zombie, it took us basically a year to do the pre-production and then the shooting and on the editing. And I got to tell you, it's frogs. We got the crap kicked out of them. You know, learned how to do this and do that safely. And it was all about safety because you want it to look good, but you don't want anyone actually getting hurt. And we shot the full-length feature film. None of the stunt people got injured. One of my actors did get injured during a really full tense scene. And it was a freak accident. No one could have seen this coming, but person in the wrong spot at the wrong time and didn't get injured badly, just got a small, slight sprain and was back on the set the next weekend like nothing had ever happened. So we were very fortunate that we basically walked away from that without any major injuries. I don't count myself. I kind of dislocated my shoulder and tore the tendon.
Yeah. You dislocated? Are you okay? I mean, what else happened?
Yeah.
Did you have any more battle scars? Or?
This one, I tore the tendon, which makes it a lot harder to heal. And of course, I tore the tendon right where the stupid nerve is. So it's been, we stopped filming in December, and my shoulder still has not healed. I'm still sore. I can't really lift my arm above my head without wincing. But it's getting there. We're working on it.
Oh, no more sack of potatoes pitches with you then, huh? What are we going to do? That's our signature bones. What are we going to do?
It'll be fine in a couple.
I hope
so. I used to.
So, let's go on. I want to know.
Wait. Before we go any further, I got a friend of mine on Facebook. His name is Scott Sangster, and Scott is one of my zombies in the film for How to Kill a Zombie. And he wants to know, Scott wants to know, where from Boston are you? Where are you from in Boston? You are South, you are East, what are you?
I've lived in different places. I've lived in the inner cities South Boston, East Boston. I've been around places like the North End, like the real inner cities, and not just Cambridge.
Okay. So you're just a Boston kitty.
Yeah, I'm a real Boston girl. You know, can you tell the accent? My accent, you know, it's never going to go away. I've been in Maine for almost 4 years now. There's no people from Boston here. You know, I'm around me on the weekends, and, you know, it's never going to go away. It's just a permanent part of me, as you can hear me speak. And, I mean, someday if there's a role where I will need to get rid of my accent, but I have to be honest, people are saying, you know, you got to get a voice coach and stuff, but with what I sound like, it's getting me roles. If it's not broke, why should I have to fix it? That's what.
That's exactly right. You got a really great little cameo in what was the name of that movie? Scooter McGruder, I think.
Scooter
McGruder.
How dare you forget?
And the audience, everyone that has watched that film, when Shelley Nunchucks comes on and says one line, jumping up and down, squealing. And the line is, by the cash, that Boston accent, so people just laugh. They just bust out laughing. They love it.
Yeah, it was just natural. And I just like being on set. And, I think your friend Scott's in the chat room. It says, all kinds of Boston from you, Nunchucks. This is your friend. He's in the chat room. Hello, Scott.
There you
everybody,
go.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Yes, it was kind of an interesting thing because before you came on the line, it says we actually filmed it in a church.
That's right. We did. No. We filmed that inside East Auburn Baptist Church. Brand new church, too. Just got put up. Really nice building.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome that day, but I don't know if I scared half the people when we were, like, sitting in the audience part and the game show host, you know, he was up on the stage, and I'm screaming, oh, have my baby! I was yelling and stuff, and I think one of the actors that we both know, I think his name was Alex, and I don't know if your nephew or someone was sitting beside me. I don't know if I scared him or not, but, you know... I was like, is he okay? Did I give him nightmares?
Everybody survived.
Good. Well, what is your youngest son's name? Because he's just adorable. I mean, he's probably taller now, but what was your youngest son's name?
Michael.
Michael, okay. Because I wish I had a picture with him. I wish there was a picture we had taken. I don't know why my head was just all yeah, but... you got to give him a big hug for me because when he came up to me and he says, I'm a big fan, that just like melted my heart. It took me by surprise. And, you know, just getting responses for people, you know, it was just me getting into film, starting to get into that. And I'm like, I really didn't know what to say. And I was like, afterwards, when it was all over, I was like, I should have took a picture with him. And I feel really bad. So you got to tell him. I was like, because I really didn't know. I don't know what to do at events and stuff. No one's ever given me instructions, and I'm a spaz. So it's like I'm excited, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. That's how I hear that.
Was that Michael? Was that Michael that walked up into that, or was that Ben?
It was the little one. He was very small. No, Ben was my height. Your younger one came up to me.
Okay, Michael, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my gosh. He was just
yeah,
so
Mikey
sweet.
Loves watching you on in the film. He loves your part. It's that Boston accent. He just turned 13, by the way.
Did he really? Did he get taller?
Yeah. Oh, he's taller now. Still a cute kid, though.
I tried to look on your Facebook page, and I was like, where's the Scooter McGruder pictures? And it must have been someone else's page, and I was like, I can't find the pictures because I was going to grab them and put them on my page. You know, trying to save them and stuff.
Scooter, a little kid.
Yeah.
That opens the movie, actually.
Well, oh, man, I see. I have problems, right? Not that we don't all have problems, but if I don't see something more than once, I can't remember. What happened in the beginning of Scooter? I forget.
At the end.
What was that, Del?
What did you say? What happened at the end?
No, what happened in the beginning? You said he opens up the film. Is he supposed to
play
you as a young
film.
Man or something?
He's he's on a scooter. He's on one of those old foot scooters, and he's like pushing himself along and scooting down the road. That's why they call him Scooter.
Something? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't there like a store something he goes to or something?
Yes, he goes to the store, and then the boys pick on it. Yep.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I was trying to remember. He did have a part. And the funniest thing, well, to me, this is really funny because they call you like one of my film brothers. There's a part in the film that Ben is, and your son, he's tormenting the crap out of you through the whole film. He must have, like, loved this because he's riding on a bike and he's, like, throwing newspapers at you. And what son would love to humiliate his dad in the film?
Yeah, I think Ben had a little too much fun with that role.
Yeah, whacking you with newspapers. And the funny thing is, for a comedy film like that, didn't it win a couple of awards?
Yes, we won Best Feature Film at the L.A. International Film Festival, the Lewiston Auburn, and not the one out west. We had 124 films from all over the world, and we won Best Feature Film, so we were pretty stoked about that. It was my first full-length feature film as a film company, and we went to one single festival, and we took the big prize home, so we were very happy with that.
Oh, sweet, and I got a scene in it. Oh, my gosh, I'm famous. No, what are you kidding? That's so awesome. I got to have a little part in it and all part of me in my Boston accent.
And that film that I'm in, You Can't Kill Stephen King, that'll be here in America this fall. That also won Best Feature Film at the same festival. So I've been very fortunate with what I've done and what I've been in. I've been very, very fortunate.
It's awesome. I keep, like, praying for you, too. And with the How to Kill Stephen King, is it about killing Stephen King? Is that what the plot's about?
I can't say.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah, it's not here in the U.S. yet. I can't give you any spoilers, but it's titled You Can't Kill Stephen King. So basically, if you listen to the title, you'll be able to figure out the film. So.
Great. I just wanted to know because, you know, knowing has half the battle, like G.I. Joe says. But, you know, it says, Stephen King in there. And I did find Stephen King's house. I didn't really stalk him, but I took a picture one year. I actually, went up to Bangor, and people helped me find his house. And I found Stephen King's house. And it's just funny. People do, you ever hear drive-by shootings? People were doing drive-by picture taking. It was like, go,
yeah.
go. I swear to God. They were we can take a picture. Okay, go. And I'm like, okay now. But it was in a regular neighborhood.
He's a pretty decent guy. He likes, keeps to himself. People don't bother him. That's why he lives in Maine. That's why I'm staying here. No matter how big or little we ever get, we're staying right here in Maine. That's the whole point. But that film, You Can't Kill Stephen King, it's rated R because it's got a little bit of language, got some violence. It's a horror comedy spoof, like the one with the mask. It's a spoof, basically. And it spoofs a bunch of his film. There's a bunch of little scenes in there from all of his different films. That's a lot of fun, but I can't give any spoilers away, but it's a really great film. If you watch the trailer's up online. If you want to see, Stephen King put it on the front page of his website, the trailer, so we were very fortunate and got a lot of publicity from that.
Really? So Stephen King really did that?
Yeah, he put it right on his front page of his website.
Oh, I'll be checking that out. I'll definitely be checking that out.
I don't know if it's still there, but it was there, so it probably still is. But they changed sites around, so I don't know if it's still there, but... It was there for several months. Still may be there. I haven't been back there for a while.
Oh, you can catch it on YouTube. That sounds awesome. So what else, other films you've done before we get into anything you want to promote and stuff like that? Any other films, anything other you want to talk about?
Yeah, I've done some good work with Debacle Films. There's a feature film out there called Back to the Beyond that you can buy online now. It got worldwide distribution, and that was kind of a neat film. I got to play a completely different character in that film. I played a professor, a smart professor, which is really funny because I normally get the tough guys. So it was an awful lot of fun being in that.
You played someone smart. And you played someone smart. I was like,
so
okay.
It was fun. Yeah, I got to play a college professor. So that was a lot of fun. It's a ghost movie, like a sci-fi ghost. It's like mm-hmm. Ghost Hunter. It's called Back to the Beyond. That was a lot of fun. So that film's out there. It can be bought. That was one of the, there's basically six characters and I'm one of the six. So it was nice being in that film. Another debacle film that just sold recently, is called Dark Minds. And, a wonderful young lady down in Portland named Justine Lin. And Justine, wrote the script and debacle shot the film. And now they've got distribution. My son Ben is in that film. He plays the creepy, creepy bad guy. And I'm going to tell you what, I've never seen anything like this on film. He will scare the bejesus out of you. And
his father is. He's taking after dad.
But that's going to be available online very soon to buy. So, check that film out too, because Ben's pretty proud of his role in that. It's really something else to see it. He is going to creep you out. He did a great job.
You got to tell him I said hi.
Oh, sure, I can do that, yeah. Right now he's upstairs doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but... we're working on... He likes to do his own stuff. He likes to get his own roles in films. He doesn't just, hang around me. He likes to do his own thing, and he wants to make his own way in film. Doesn't want to be Bill McClane's son. So I think he's well on his way to. I think he's well on his way to pass me.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. Everybody wants to go out and do their own thing, become their own thing, and that's expected. So, what else have you been doing? I mean, have you been traveling to do films? Did you go on a superhero film or something, or was I just? Maybe that was someone else.
Yeah, there's, you familiar with the 48-Hour Film Festival?
Yeah.
Okay. They just had the one in Portland, and I joined Alan Dillingham's team. Alan Dillingham owns Killertainment Films, and Alan was the DP on How to Kill a Zombie, my film, and very, very talented camera guy. And he's got a lot of really nice vision. He's really great at capturing cool shots. And so he put a team together and asked me if I'd join. So I went ahead and joined up with him. And you know how in the 48-Hour Film Festival you draw a genre out of a hat, and they give you a prop and a name and a line. So they gave us the name and the prop and the line, and then we drew superhero. we shot a straight up superhero short film, and instead of doing the normal, I'll take whatever I get and make it funny, we actually went for it. We decided let's do a serious, take on superhero. So we didn't go with the comedy side. We just went straight up drama, action, superhero, and got it in and went down to the award ceremony last Wednesday, and we won Best Special Effects. So that was cool.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome. I can never do those things. I feel so bad because people are like, oh, Shelly, can you do this and that? And I'm dedicated to something on Saturdays. I have to finish something. I have to finish Valkyr. It's something I got to do. I'm committed. It's taken a long time, but going to see it through. So you understand that. I mean,
I get on a project, I finish it. So, it was fun. We won Best Special Effects and a lot of other talented teams. There was quite a few nice little prizes handed out. And, it was a great time. If you get a chance, anybody out there listening, if you get a chance to work on a 48-hour film festival team, do it, because you'll learn more in 48 hours than you learn in a year doing film, because you have exactly 48 hours to write the script, shoot the film, and edit it, and then turn it in a finished product. It has to be finished and turned in and so you can play it on the big screen. And we got ours in 1 minute. 1 minute before the deadline, so that was pretty close.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. So how does that work anyway, the 48-hour film festival? Do you meet somewhere with a bunch of filmmakers and you pull something out of a hat?
Yep, that's exactly what happened. This year it was down at a really cool bowling alley down in Portland, and we did everything there. We went and shot films, and we went back there to turn it in. And then the awards ceremony was held in the same place. So it was kind of nice because after the awards, they gave us 2 hours of free bowling.
So really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, maybe someday I'll be able to do a 48-hour film festival. Just Saturdays, I'm all booked up.
Well, you know, for now, they have one every year. And there's a new one out online I heard about that might be more interesting. So we'll see what that goes. But it's a lot of fun. You know, if you like film and you want to get in, that's a great way to start off. It's also a great way for experienced filmmakers to go because it makes you have to really, really put the pedal to the metal and get it done. You know, crunch time. This separates the lightweights from the heavyweights. So there's some really great stuff down this year.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever done it. I mean, I've seen, you know, some of them. I've watched them, but, you know, I never really participated. But it sounds pretty cool. I mean, it sounds like a rush job, like really have to get it in there, but it still sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you've only got 4 to 7 minutes. Your film has to be between 4 and 7 minutes. So you really don't have a lot of time to tell the story, to use the prop and the character and the line and tell a story that actually, you know, has an ending. You can't leave it open-ended, you know, too terribly open-ended. You can do, you know, stuff like, ooh, sequel and stuff like that, but you really have to put together a pretty decent little film. Otherwise, you don't really stand a chance of winning any of the awards. Now, the neat thing is the winners, they go on to the Nationals. So, you know, they take those and they send them in. And, boy, if you can win up in there, you can get some pretty neat recognition. So it's a good time. Now, I was talking to you about Alan Dillingham. He owns Killertainment Films. This September, which is next month, heck, it's only a week away, September. But this September, later on in September, he's shooting a fantasy film, and I'm actually co-directing the film. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's my first shot at directing. I do a lot of acting. I do some script writing, and I do some, you know, production, but I've never really directed anything major before. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to co-direct this film. It's a fantasy film, and all I can really tell you is that it's going to have some really cool stuff in it, like, you know, heroes and vampires and pipes and all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even see, this is what, I didn't know anything, right? Because I didn't know who he was, and I didn't realize it had to do with so many different people. Laura's in it, and many different people, because the guy, Alan, he, I think, friended me or something, and he approached me, you know, through Facebook about, you know, acting and stuff, and says, you know, we'll talk about this in a film, and he asked me if you want to be a ninja, and I said, yeah, I don't know. I says, well, if it's, you know, something I can get to, but I says, I'm dedicated to something Saturday. I don't know how he friended me. I didn't know it was in that circle and stuff, but he started talking to me, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, yeah, I want to play a ninja. So
yeah, I told him he should talk to you about it. I know you like doing film, and I know you love martial arts, so... You know, it's I put a lot of people up on his list, and he contacted all of them, and a lot of them he hired. So it's going to be a really fun scene. If you're doing something Saturday or whatever you're done, you ought to stop by the set anyway. You know, whatever you're done, because Alan is Alan's kind of, well, I'm just going to say kind of brilliant. He sort of does things differently than anyone I've ever seen. The way he directs, the way he shoots film. So he can, you know, someone can show up and he could throw them in a shot. You know, you never know. It's you just never know. But it's going to be a lot of fun because I like what he does, and he has a great idea in his head, and it's a trooper, because you get to be on his film, you know it's going to get finished because he's really good at editing. So he's re-editing that superhero film. It's probably going to be an 8 or 9 or 10 minute film when he's done. And he'll put that up online so everyone can watch it. It was a lot of fun. We got almost everyone at the 48-hour film festival asked me or him if we were going to turn it into a feature film or you know, when we were going to just do a sequel or whatever. So apparently people really liked it.
That's awesome. It's a small world because I had no clue who he was, and he added me to this board, and then all of a sudden Laura Fury, she's like, because I kind of worked with her a little bit before and her husband Dan, and she's like, oh, I can't wait to meet you. I'm like, what? I was like, I had no idea who was involved. And I was like, huh? I'm like, what? And I was like,
so
I don't
you know
what's going
that's
on.
Funny. You know Laura. You know Laura. I think that's pretty funny. I had never worked with her, didn't know her. And she friended me not long ago. And then when Alan came to me and said, hey, do you know any girls that can do stunts and stunt fighting and stuff, she was the first name I threw up there. And like 20 minutes later, she had a lead role in the film. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I didn't know who Alan was. He says he's a filmmaker from Maine. I says, well, if it's close by, I can get involved. Like I said, I just have, you know, a little bit of stipulations. I mean, not being, a diva or anything. It's just that I'm committed on Saturdays and Fridays and Sundays and very open to do other films if I can and if I have a way to get there. So, you know, he was like, oh, you want to be a ninja? I'm like, ninja? Yeah! Because my famous saving, one of my saving is, growing up, I never wanted to be Barbie. I always wanted to be a ninja. So he's like,
that's
you want
right.
to be a ninja? And I'm like, okay. So I
yeah.
was like, all right. I don't know who this guy is, but I hope he's not some weirdo or something like that. So I was like,
No, just so you know, no. Alan's actually listening to your show right now.
Oh, is he? Oh, hi, Alan.
Yeah.
How are you doing? I just called him a weirdo. Here, I'm like, well,
he's,
not meaning like,
he's probably sitting on his toilet in his underwear, too.
Well, I could just picture that, you know. I could picture all my audience members, whoever, you know, sitting on the crapper, sitting on the hopper. The hopper.
Yeah.
See, I could see that commercial get paid. The hopper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what is some, you know, what are, you know, before getting into promoting future things, if you're able to speak about them, what are some of your favorite moments during films? Do you have any favorite moments, favorite people that you work with or anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's so many. And I don't mean that to be facetious. Just, during the 48, just the 48-hour film festival, I got to meet some new people. I got to work with some actors that I'd never even met before. And it's always fun when you're on the set doing your thing. And just everything seems to flow together and people, I don't know, people just come together and they make it happen. I think it's pretty awesome. But some of my favorite times on set, How to Kill a Zombie. Aside from the injury to my shoulder, we did a lot of stunts. We did 86 stunts and, you know, scenes in this movie. That's a lot of stunts for any film. And, you know, working with some of these people, just they really, when someone else applies themselves, and there's this one scene in particular where I can talk a little bit about it. I'm trying to distract some zombies, and I basically end up in the middle of a bunch of them, and I hit this one guy. And if you've ever watched any Steven Seagal films, this guy's feet came up over my head, and he landed on his neck. This guy,
is he okay?
Yeah, no, he's totally fine. We had the stunt pit and everything, and you know, he practiced it. The guy's a professional. His name is Stefan Bernard, and Stefan really sold the stunt. I mean, when you watch the film, you're going to think I took this guy's head off. I mean, it's just, it's an amazing shot. That was a lot of fun. Yes.
Oh, man.
I know you like the action stuff, so there's some really
yeah.
great action stuff in there. I think one of my favorite times on the set on that film was watching two other actors, and I'm just standing in the background, not even in the scene. You know, it's their scene. And I'm just kind of standing back watching, and Juliana Spear and another guy in the film, Joe. Juliana and Joe are in the scene together, and oh, my word. I've never laughed so hard on a set watching actors do their thing. And I wasn't even in the scene, but it's like one of my favorite scenes all time. She just runs roughshod over this guy. And just when you think she's got the upper hand, he just comes back with this line and bam. So, yeah, it's been a lot of good times on set. They really have. Too many to really pick, but those are some of them from my recent memory.
Yes. So have you, has there ever been anybody that you've ever wanted to work with? And if so, did you ever get to work with them?
I would really like to be in a film with Sean Connery. I've been in a film with Mel Gibson. I've worked with Mel up close, 6.5 days, side by side. Ray Winston. Can't believe I'm on a film set with these guys, working with these titans in the industry. But I would love to work with Sean Connery, but I think he's retired, and that's probably never going to happen. So I'll have to pick a new one.
Well, no, you never can tell. Sometimes they make comebacks. I mean, come on, look at the guys in the Expendables and stuff. And it's just like people keep going and going. And just because they're a certain age doesn't mean they're not like the Energizer Bunny. Maybe they're not as fast as they used
true,
to be.
But Sean Connery really is. He's still great looking, but he's really getting old these days. I mean,
hey, never say the word old.
Well, he's retired.
No, older.
He's officially retired. So, I mean, that's what I read.
How do you know that? Did you call up Sean Connery? Listen, Mr. Sean Connery, did you quit? I am Sean Connery. I will not quit. Are you kidding me? You can't tell Sean Connery to quit. He's not a quitter. He's just in, like, he took a sabbatical or something. Sean Connery's in hibernation. Because you know what? I bet you, mark my words, Mark Schilling and Chuck's words, you're going to hear all of a sudden Sean Connery doing a film. Betcha. I bet you I could pull up Sean Connery, find him on Google. Yep, he's doing a film. There's no doubt about it. Why don't you throw on a kilt or something and work with Sean Connery or something? Come on, I can picture you. Don't be ashamed. Your legs can't be all that bad.
Well, actually, my legs are kind of hot, so thanks for saying so.
So, see, there you go. Put on the kilt. You know, I mean, maybe you can do some sort of Highlander film or something like that.
Oh, that'd be a ton of fun. Yeah, maybe I could do a spoof. We'll call it Lowlander. We'll call it Lowlander.
How low can you go?
Yep, exactly. How low can you go? I could do that. Okay, so now I've got a new idea for a film. Thanks, Shelley.
See, there you go. You come on as a guest. I give you ideas to watch. I'll be like, yep, he did a film. That was my idea. Uh-huh. I better get some props for that. I better get some, you know, payback for that.
We're going to have to get some kilts. We're going to have to get some filmmakers and do some kilts.
And, yeah, and the swords, too. What is the name of the sword? I got to ask you, since I got you in my grasp here.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the difference? Because I've been, you know, I used to watch Highlander and stuff, and I didn't know too much about swords. But, you know, Highlander, Adrian Paul, right? Because I was like, I think he's sexy as hell. And he's, you know, I assume he's supposed to be Scottish, right? I mean, I've seen him running around in the kilts and stuff. I assume he is. But the question
he's
I have
is, he's the original Highlander's cousin in the film.
Now, is he Scottish?
So, yes,
Scottish?
He would be Scottish.
Scottish.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, what I'm looking at, and I'm trying to understand, the sword he has, I don't know if you know the type of sword. It's very, long and flat. It's really big, you know.
Yep.
And then I seen him, and I didn't think it was a katana blade. But then I see him with the katana blade. I'm like, and it's in pitches. And I thought in the TV series, he never had a katana blade. I thought it was the Highlander one. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In several of the films, Duncan and Connor MacLeod, they use the katana because it was one of the best weapons. That yes, they're Scottish, but it's all about having the best weapon on the field. You know, keeping your head on. So they ended up with those katana blades, fashioned by Ramirez, Sean Connery. By the way, Highlander is one of my favorite all-time films, just so you know. And the big sword, the big sword is a Scottish claymore. It's the Highlander sword. Yeah, Scottish claymore.
Why the heck are you not doing a type of film like this? You know, the things that you know, that you were, I don't care. You should put on a kilt. I'm surprised you really don't have a kilt.
Who says I don't? My name is McLean from the Clan
McLean. Well, why are you not taking pictures and posing in it? I want to see those legs.
You just want to see my legs. Mm-hmm.
That's it right there. I want to see in a kilt. I do have a question, though. You know where this kilt thing is leading to, right? I want to know because about the history. Is it true? I just got to ask this because I really don't know anything about, you know, Scottish. I mean, I just know from films and stuff. I heard, and it's like this might be pretty lame for asking, but once again, I don't know, and it's not to be disrespectful or anything, but is it really true? You know, because you hear about films and stuff, it might be a stupid question. Do men really, real Scot men, wear nothing under their kilts?
You know, there's a song for that, lassie. It goes a bit like this. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. Ring ding diddly lidio, ring ding diddly io. That's the song. It's the Scottish kilt song. And real Scotsmen, they don't wear anything under the kilt.
But aren't you cold? I mean, or are they hearing? I mean, seriously.
Because
I want to be all wrapped up. I can't even picture, you know, I mean, my legs would be cold. I don't know. Maybe they had thicker skin years ago. I don't know.
No, we're still the same. But, you know, guys can handle it. You know, we're tough guys. Some of them today just wear underwear, you know? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm saying, like, years ago, you know, I mean, they didn't have houses like years ago. And, you know,
they had houses.
Well, no,
they
it had to be kind of cold, but I'm just, like, thinking, I mean, maybe, you know, other nationalities, you know, they ran around with no shirts and stuff. But, you know, thinking that's kind of... You know, that's kind of a sensitive area, the jewels, you know what I'm saying? It's like, did guys ever get frostbite or something? I mean, I know I'm talking about this live on the air, but I mean, seriously, I just can't. I want to have everything wrapped up. I mean, personally, in the winter, in Maine, we live in Maine. It's like the North Pole. Because I'm thinking, imagine Scotland must get really cold because, you know, we're freezing up here, like so cold in the wintertime. I have to have everything
Scotland
wrapped
is
up.
A temperate
you know what I mean?
Zone. Yeah, Scotland is a temperate zone. There's cold Maine. You know, they have cold winters, and I'm sure that they wrap stuff around their parts and things. I mean, that's you don't want to freeze to death. So they probably wear the kilts mostly in the summertime.
Yeah, because of course you know what it is. You know. If you learn most of the thing, like history, it was like, you know, I just growing up in school, I didn't have the knowledge to know. And it's like, maybe this isn't the right time to be asking these questions. I just don't know. And I was like, you know what? I was like, maybe Bill would know. Maybe I can ask him questions. I was like, maybe I sound like an idiot live on the air or something. But just to know, I'm learning more about it. I mean, come on. It's the Shelly Nunchuck Show.
Yeah,
you don't know.
You're learning.
You know
and this is making a great segment, see?
Yeah, well, no, I swear to God, I had Crosby Tatum and the other guys from Triceptor Studio. We ended up starting, we talked about crap, right? I'm not kidding. It had, like, the highest rating on my show. I don't know what it is. You talk about butt and crap, and I'm just like, the toilet, and the number goes up. I have no idea why, but you mention crap, and bing, everything goes up.
Well, just
I don't
imagine
know
how many hits are going to be on this one. You just got me singing on the air. What the heck?
Well, can you sing? Is that one of your talents, too?
No comment.
No comment? Why? Do you break windows?
I have a couple of rock music video parodies coming out this fall.
Okay.
So you'll get to see me in
a
video singing... and being funny all at the same time. The first one we're releasing is called Learning to Cry, and it's a parody of Tom Petty's Learning to Fly. So if you're a Tom Petty fan,
okay.
Yeah, Learning to Fly. If you're a Tom Petty fan, you definitely want to see this video. very funny. I've got a really talented co-star in it, Miss Kara Hult, and she works down in Portland. She's an actress down there, does a lot of stage, very talented lady, and she's going to make you laugh. And it's a really great video. It's got some good comedy in it. And the one we're shooting next, very soon here, I believe next month, is called Stan. You know R.E.M.? A lot of R.E.M. fans out there, they sing this song called Stand, you know, Stand in the Place Where You Live.
Yeah, oh, Stand, and na-na-na-na-na.
That's the one.
I know what you're talking about.
That's the one. So we wrote a parody to that. My daughter, Megan, who is 15 this year, she helped me write a parody to it because she thought it sounded like Stand, not Stand. So we're going to do Stand in the Place Where You Live. Stand, yeah, like, you know, nerdy guy with glasses. We're going to have this nerdy, creepy dude everywhere that he shouldn't be. You know, stands in the place where you live, stands in the place where you work. It's going to be really a lot of fun.
That sounds pretty different. I'll have to wait and see it. But, you know, you can always post it on my wall as long as it's not rated X. And it's like, as long as things are covered up. Oh, we got a caller. There's a caller in the queue, so I'm going to bring them on.
Awesome.
So give me one moment.
Yep.
Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Shelley. Al Chilella.
Al, how are you? Oh, my gosh. This is a pleasure to have you calling in on my show.
Well, it's a pleasure to listen to you for the very first time. And hello, Mr. McLean and Commando.
Hello, Al.
Commando, referring to your kilt.
Oh, yes.
I didn't mean to wake you.
Oh, gosh. That's true. See, you
what?
Talk about cojones and crap, and you get callers in.
Well, yeah, a lot of crazy conversation going on your, I don't know, that chat line there. Something
yeah,
to do with your accent, Shelley. But anyway, it's a pleasure to listen to you and talk to you. And, of course, I don't think I've ever met either one of you here in the Boston area, right?
Yeah, well, no, I was originally from Boston, but, you know, I moved up to Maine, and Bill's from Maine. But it's like, you know, once you're, I guess, in the film business and you just network and you keep seeing people's pictures and, you know, the stuff that they do, and you're like, oh, you know, you see the Facebook things and you check things out. And I check out your Facebook from time to time, Al. I don't always leave things down. I was like, oh, that's what he's doing now. So I check out people's Facebook pages, whether they know it or not.
Oh, cool. Now, when you say leave things, you weren't talking about the crapper.
Yeah, I was talking about, you know, a crapper or whatever, because they started talking about my Boston accent, and they have, I mean, I don't own a TV. I haven't had a TV, but I saw everybody's like,
I'm sorry. Bill, can you get her a TV?
I can see what I can do, Al.
Bill, get her a TV. I mean, how can she possibly be part of the whole entertainment world and not have a TV? Shelley, little news for you. Don't ever tell anybody that again. It's not like you got a radio show or anything, you know what I mean?
Well, I have a computer, so you know what it is? I should, you know how like people pay hundreds of dollars for cable and stuff for crap they don't want to watch? Well, if I want to watch crap, I want to be the one to select it and not pay, because if you're so busy and you're paying hundreds of dollars for cable and such and you're not watching it, where's that money going? I'd rather be sitting in the movie theater, the big screen in front of me. Do you know what I mean? I want to be, if I'm going to watch crap, I want to be the selective person of picking my crap to watch.
Well, that's why we have this thing called a remote. What's the matter with you?
I don't know how to work that. I'm a tech
card. Bill, tell her.
Well, you know, I know other people that don't watch TV. They have them, they just don't use them. Some people like to do puzzles, things like that. But if you're in the film industry, I know what she's saying. A lot of people in the film industry, they don't really care about the TV so much as they'll get online and watch TV. You got Hulu. You can watch any TV show you want and do it online. So it's cheaper in the long run, I guess. But I have a TV because, you know, I'm a video game freak.
Wow.
You're just a freak in general. Yeah.
No, that answers a lot of questions, Bill. Excellent.
So you got to ask him, since I have you on the phone, Al, do you have any questions you want to ask Bill?
Yes, I do. Bill, what are you going to be when you grow up?
I don't ever plan on growing up. What?
Now, do we sing like the Toys R Us theme song or something like that, since none of us want to grow up?
No.
That's a good question.
Just a basic question. Bill, what are you going to be when you grow up?
I'm going to be a movie star, baby.
No, wrong answer. The right answer is older.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Feeling that
one. I confuse kids when I ask that. You know what, Bill? You remind me of that peanut who walked into a bar room all bruised up, and the bartender says, "What happened to you?" He says, "I just got assaulted." Or Bill, you remind me of that guy who had a foul-mouthed parrot, and he didn't know what to do with it. One day he went into the kitchen, opened up the freezer, threw the parrot in, slammed the door, walked away. After quite a few minutes, started feeling guilty. So he went back into the kitchen, opened up the freezer door, and the bird jumps on his shoulder and says, "May I ask, I'm sorry how I've been speaking. Please forgive me. I won't do that again." And the guy says, "Okay, I forgive you. May I ask one question?" "Yeah. What does a turkey do wrong?"
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, sometimes you got to teach lessons in life. So, Bill, you met Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman? No, I've never worked with Dustin Hoffman.
Well, what's that picture, Shelley?
Oh, Eric Idle?
Yeah, baby, that's Eric Idle. That's Monty Python.
I'm just saying.
I got to be on stage, on frickin' stage with Eric Idle. I sang four songs, four Monty Python songs with him, and it was probably the highlight of my career.
Cool.
You know, I grew up watching Python, and I know all the different, I know all the skits, I know all the lines, I know all the films. That's how I can do different accents, because I can copy every one of those guys. During the first song, I sounded so much like him, and I didn't need the sheet music, the words. He literally stopped playing the guitar and watched me for like 5 seconds, and then he jumped back in again. That was the coolest moment of my life. So, yeah,
nice.
Good times.
Nice. So it's good to I'm appreciating both of you and learning more about you, Bill. I've seen a lot of you on Facebook, as well as you, Shelley, because you are an international star.
Oh, that's sweet. I try to think of be a high-working person, and, you know, it's a lot of people like yourself and everybody else when I watch and see their stuff, because I try to, you know, see other things and try to be open-minded, even though I'm into action. And I try to watch other people and take with what they do and try to learn, you know, and try to bring stuff into roles I do. Because, you know, when you get people that have been doing it longer than me and you learn from them, sometimes the people that have been doing it the longest, they can be the best teachers besides being in a classroom.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, you're not married, right?
Nope, not married.
Boyfriend?
No comment.
No, I'm just wondering, because, for example, if my wife happened to like swords, I'd have a problem.
Why?
Because I never know when I'm going to piss her off, you know what I mean?
I guess it's better than being pissed on or something. I don't know.
Well, no. In this case, it would be better, because the one slice of that sword, you must have a lot of emotions in you.
No, see, it's like I come off. No, seriously, when I'm on the internet, I always say the art of communication is lost, because it's like the way I write. I think it's, you know, finding out things. I can, when I talk and do the radio show, people are like, "This is the Shelley Nunchucks that writes on the internet." It's really hard. It's two different worlds for me. I can't communicate they want on the internet. So people think she's really nuts, which is kind of good, because then people leave you alone. They won't mess with you. And then it's kind of hard,
especially,
you know,
if you're
like,
wielding your sword. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but
Shelley's really a big sweetie. She's an awesome person, great to be around. She just doesn't like writing. Some people write well and some people don't, but she's great in person, so who cares?
Yeah.
No, no, I'm still addressing the weapons that she.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, her name is
weapons.
Her name is Shelley Nunchuck.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
no, see, I know it's a responsibility, and it's something that, you know, learning about the swords and that katana blade was a real, that's a real katana blade. And my, you know, the person that's taking my pitches, he's a martial artist. And I says, you know, I don't want to come off as, like, when I see pitches to some girls because they're so beautiful, they're like, well, you know what, I'm going to try to look cool with the weapon and get more guys' attention. And I says, well, that's not really what it's about. It's, no, seriously, I see these things and how sometimes girls are doing very erotic things with weapons. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my dear God, that is so disrespectful. You're not supposed to do things like that. But, you know, that's their thing, but I was like, you know, learning, I trained in the dojo, I trained with Horace Zakor Deliz, I trained with him for a year in Tai Chi, and I'm like, whatever weapon you yield, which I was on an archery league, I learned, you know, I somewhat know about nunchucks, learned about the bow staff, and now getting these real sharp swords, which really, you can get hurt. They're saying,
yeah,
well,
that's
careful,
what I was talking about.
Be respectful. No, I would never, anything with weapons, because anything can be a weapon. You could actually, you know, you could take a nail file and stab someone, a pencil, a pen. You could take a fork, a spoon. I mean, seriously, I know you don't think of a spoon, but, you know, that's something where you can do anything to be a weapon, even your two fingers. And I wanted to know about the two-finger punch. It's a deadly move, and there's points on your body that you can actually kill someone. And I'm crazy, okay? And I says,
thank you for sharing
that. With, you know, I want to get hit.
No. The reason I'm thankful that you did share that is it just kind of, you know, makes pretty firm what I was thinking in the first place.
Yes, treat Shelley with respect and you won't die.
See what I mean?
No.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that because it's like with weapons.
No, you're right. You
have to be responsible.
Your warm, sensitive, loving understanding that carries a weapon.
Yeah, no.
Good
hey,
for
Al,
you,
I got
girl.
A question for you, buddy.
Go ahead.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I heard that you're part of a new film coming up, Killing Khan.
Oh, little part.
Well, hey, part to part, right?
Yeah.
Wait,
it's like
you said Killing Khan?
Yeah.
You said Killing Khan. Do you know how many people I noticed was on that? It says Billy, Sean Daugherty, and the leading actor from my film, The Dishwasher, Anthony.
Anthony.
Huang?
Hong.
Yep,
Hong, yes.
See, I don't know if the name means anything, but, you know, what? Bill?
Still hear you.
Wow. Well,
yeah, he's still there. What were you asking, Bill?
That was if Anthony's last name means anything. Never mind.
I'm not too sure.
It's okay, Shelley. Bill got it. That's okay.
Yeah, his little name might be Well.
And Anthony is
okay.
Sweet. I love the guy. He really is a very, very nice guy.
Yeah. I've seen his work. He's a real stunt guy, and he got set on fire and all this stuff. And I'm like, I saw Killing Khan pictures, right? And I was like, you know, they're showing all these other actors, and I saw, like, one picture of Anthony. And I kept saying, it's just, you know, they've got a real stunt guy that went to stunt school. I was like, come on, show some more pictures of Anthony. You know, that's kind of like, I want to see more.
Yeah, you want to see Shanti and Roxy, that little... Wow, she's a spitfire.
Yep.
Oh, my
well,
goodness.
Well, do they have any martial arts experience or anything? Or?
Pardon me?
Do you know if they have any martial arts experience or go to stunt school, or are they just actors or something?
Oh, actors that do stuff, like even Van did some. It's good stuff.
It looks like an interesting film. I'm looking forward to seeing it when it comes out. Do you know when it's coming?
I think they're still filming.
They're still filming.
Billy,
oh, okay.
No,
yeah,
just wrapped. Just wrapped.
Oh, nice. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
I can't wait to see it, too.
Like I said, I just play a teeny-weeny part in it.
No big deal. The last film I did was with John DePue. It's called The Final Shift. and I took literally the smallest part in the film. But I had a good time doing it. And the thing about film is you can't make a feature film without all the little pieces. You need everyone, from the extras all the way to the lead. You really can't make the film without it. So there's no such thing as a small part. If you're in the film, it's all critical.
Oh, Bill,
yeah.
You are so cool. You definitely have a way with words.
You guys want to hear a true story? You're
going to
laugh,
okay.
Because it's Shelley Nunchuck. So, Shelley Nunchuck Show, you're going to laugh at this. Does it involve what?
Kilts,
no. Doesn't involve... I don't know. I don't remember if there was a kilt in the film or not. It was an action film, but it might have been.
An action film with a kilt,
scene.
Going commando.
Yeah, well, it's possible. Anything's possible. But, like everybody always... Well, for me personally, I always try to put even an extra role, I always try to put 100% in what I'm doing. First time in my life on a film, I didn't have any lines or anything like that. And I was in a fight circle watching two guys fight, and it was called this film called Underground. This guy gets his neck snapped. I, for some strange reason, I yell real loud, "What the meh?" what I'm talking about, real loud. So everybody's like, "Oh my God!" And the director goes, "Shelley, do that again." So I'm saying that line about 10 or 15 times. "What the beep? What the beep?" Over and over again. Little did I know that this film would go out to California, go to one of the biggest film festivals internationally, Action On Film Festival, where all people I've looked up to, like James Liu, have been, won awards and stuff out in California. Won awards. This film is now being sold, and you can get it almost anywhere, like a Kmart and stuff. And it won all these awards. And the first line from my film, in an award-winning film, is "What the beep." Audie Shelley Nunchucks.
We're going to have to change your name to Shelley Tourette's Nunchucks.
Yes, that's what. Well, I have to be respectful. It's just something that, you guys must have seen my outpost again tonight, my thing from inventory where I'm swearing like Joe Pesci. But it's just part of the set. You get involved in it. You make the director happy. You keep doing it over and over again. As long as you're doing the job, the director's happy. That's all that matters.
Good for you. Hey, Bill, you mentioned 48-hour film festivals, which I had the privilege of being part of two of them. One was with some Bentley college students, Bentley
sure.
University
yep.
in Massachusetts. And then another guy, Greg Bescher, a friend of mine, videographer, we just put it together. And just a 7-minute, but I had a lot of fun doing it. As a matter of fact, even if you go on YouTube and throw in my name, Al Chalela, and you'll see a 7-minute Lady Luck.
Oh, nice. First I'll check it out.
First time I ever played three characters all in the same film, and it's only 7 minutes.
Nice.
And we kind of like just it, which was kind of cool. A lot of fun.
I'll check it out. Sounds fun.
There's a question. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but in the chat room, someone, but I don't know what film this person, Scott Sangster, had asked the question. It says, "Serious though," and I don't know what film he was referring to. "Serious though, that must have been a scary moment." Hold on, people are logging in and out, and I'm trying to look at the question here.
Was Bill
about,
hurt badly?
Was Bill hurt badly?
Now, was that Bill, when you hurt your shoulder, Bill?
I'm sorry?
Was that when you hurt your shoulder?
Filming on How to Kill a Zombie.
Mm.
Oh, okay, because I wasn't too sure because they were typing this, but they didn't refer to the, the movie, so it must have been that there. He's slowly recovering from what he was saying, so if you want to talk about that for another refresher, you are recovering still from, I think it's a torn ligament. Is that correct?
Yeah, what happened was I was in a stunt scene with a very young man full of,
vinegar.
Yeah, full of vim and vinegar. This kid, he's 6'2", 6'3". He's in excellent physical shape. He's one of those guys that can stand up and then do a backflip and land on his feet again. And the director, the assistant director, actually, we were shooting this one particular scene, and the assistant director kept watching the scene over and over, and he's like, "Hey, kid, you don't look like you're trying to bite Bill. You need to get in there and make it look like you're really biting him." And so basically he goes, "Look, here's the thing. Bill's been around this for years. He's a highly trained stunt guy. He can do his stuff." He says, "What I want you to do is literally try and bite Bill. Give me just one take where you're literally trying to bite him, and Bill will hold you off." And so this kid went friggin' ape nuts and tried to bite me. And I had to keep him up. Well, I had kind of sort of injured my shoulder the night before. And during the scuttle, I felt something pop, and I sort of half dislocated it and tore that thing and tore the other thing, and it was not good. But the shot looks great.
Well, good, it was actually
good for you,
asking
Bill.
About, it wasn't, I guess it was for something called, if I can pronounce this right now, remember I'm from Boston, I talk kind of funny, I can't even spell it for you, something about the movie he was referring to was Bloody Solstice.
Oh, Bloody Solstice. Bloody Solstice.
Yeah.
That's Alan Dillingham's film. He shot it this past spring, I think. It was still a little bit of snow on the ground.
As a matter of fact, that's Alan Dillingham. That's his quote. He's online now. He's saying, "Bloody Solstice was the movie I was referring to."
Oh, yeah. Bloody Solstice is a lot of fun. I didn't get in. Well, he wants to know about the injury on that one. That was interesting. My son Ben plays the lead in that film. He's got these two Oriental hook swords, you know, the Japanese hook swords, Shelley?
Yeah, yeah,
Okay, so my son Ben's been practicing with them, and in this film, his weapons are the two hook swords. So Ben's doing all these fancy moves and things, and in the final scene, it's me against him, and I've got my Scottish Claymore. And basically, he hooks my leg and pulls it out from under me, and I go flying onto the ground. Well, when he did that, he moved a tiny bit. I moved. I went. You know, I tried to give it a little extra, and somehow his hook sword got into my ear, and it cut the inside of my ear.
Oh my God!
Well, here's the crazy part. It cut the inside of my ear. It sliced my ear off. It didn't cut the outside. I'm going to tell you, it burned. I'm sitting there on the ground for like five, 10 seconds waiting for him to go cut. He says cut. I roll over and sit up, and I put my hand on my ear, and it was just burning. And I'm like, why is my ear burning? And somebody comes over, Bill, you're bleeding. I'm like, oh, crap, is my ear still on there? Yeah. My ear's still on, so I still got those great big, you know, goofy elephant ears, which is good. We're still trying to figure out how that sword got inside my ear, but that's just, you know, one of those
things. It was one of those things. You just pulled a Jackie Chan. That's what it was. Admit it. You pulled a Jackie Chan. You just had to.
Wow. Hey, Bill, you know, none of us live forever. And you mentioned how old you are.
I'm going to kill him because he sounds like he's not that old.
Trust me, you're extremely young.
Thank you for saying that, Al.
Oh, believe me, I can speak with authority. So the point is, Bill, actually, that guy sang about you long, long ago. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Got to know when to hold them.
Yep.
Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
Yep.
You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. So that's just a little lesson in life regarding, you know, we're all capable of doing X amount, but, you know, using some wisdom as we mature. How's that?
Yes, yep. Well, see, here's the weird part. We took those hook swords and we dulled them all the way around.
Not enough.
just not quite enough. The tip was still a little on the sharp side, so... but no real injuries, just it was really weird. I just still couldn't, because it was inside my ear, you know, just
wow.
How did he not take half my ear off? I still don't know, but Ben felt bad about it, but I said, hey, you know, these things happen on set. you can be as careful as you want, you can plan all you want, and these things can still happen. So, you know, you got to be able to roll with it and get the shot, and then hopefully nobody gets killed.
And so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the thing with age, two things I want to bring up. You know, the first one, it always comes back to who with me.
Say it again.
You guys know. The two things I want to say, because Bill, every once in a while on the show, was bringing up about his age. There's two things I want to say. The first thing, what's the first thing that always comes back with Shelly Nunchucks? You guys got to know.
You're only as old as you feel, and I'm feeling pretty damn
old. No, no. The person is Jackie Chan. It always comes back to him in my life. The man is 58 years old, and he's still doing his own stunts. The second thing I want to tell you guys, I have the honor of a guy named John Hagner on my show, who he is 85 years old, and he still kind of does his own little stunts and stuff, and he's 85. So,
God
Bill, you are half the age of this man who
he's
like doing...
Oh, I'm not going to stop, Shelly. Yeah, I'm not going to stop.
That's right. You got to stop calling yourself old.
No, the tough part is I used to heal in a day or two, and now it takes 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. So there is something to that. And Shelly wanted me to tell you, Bill, a man is as old as he looks.
Yep.
But he isn't old till he stops looking.
That's true.
Yeah, well, you got to, like, remember too, I mean, look at Bruce Lee's teacher's grandson, Yip Man's grandson, who was 80 years old and was teaching Johnny Yen, you know, for the film Ip Man that went international, and he's still teaching martial arts, and he's in his 80s. So those are those things you got to keep in mind. I mean, they can teach us a thing or two.
They can, yep, definitely. I did learn a couple of things, and that is use stick or stunt match.
That's right. So I can't believe that time is already 10:42, so it's like it's almost time to go. So, Al, is there anything at all left you want to ask Bill or anything, you know, you want to give a props to anybody out there?
Bill, I've seen stuff that you've been doing, and quite honestly, I'd probably like to be considered for something in the future with whatever you're producing.
Certainly. Be glad to have someone along like you. If you go to freighttrainfilms.com, this is for you and anyone else out there that's listening. I have a page on Freight Train Films, and it's future movies. And if you go to that page and check it out, I do a lot of advertising when I do. Like, I'm hopefully – we're shooting one or two films here. They're both feature films. They have not been cast yet. And my films, I actually like to use real people. I like to use kids all the way up to grandparents, because I think a film should have a slice of real life in it as opposed to just a bunch of 20-somethings. You know,
yeah, I qualify in both areas.
There you go. See, a 20-something grandpa.
Kid and old man. Now, the biggie question, though, I happen to be SAG.
Yep.
So, you hire SAG?
Yeah. We can. It depends on the project. There's some tricky stuff there where if you ever want to actually sell the film, you need to have just the right stuff, because if you read the fine print, which I put this up on my Facebook page, I think last year, I was reading through the contract, and basically, if I can boil it down, I don't know if it changed it since then, but if I could boil it down, if you're doing a SAG film, an independent film, and you want to use SAG and you want to actually sell the film, you can't really play it for profit anywhere the way the wording is. So it's one of those things where I just have to get the right paperwork. People have done it. People will do it. So I'm sure I can figure that out. We're still
I don't know if you know that since SAG and AFTRA have combined into one union now, SAG-AFTRA, there's been some tweaking of contracts, and they are really anxious to work with any filmmaker, and right down to the point of there's now an even ultra low budget contract, et cetera, granted it means you can get away without paying a lot of money to an actor. Depending on the length of the film, can be deferred, et cetera, et cetera. So all you got to do is call the SAG office in Boston, and they're very, very amenable to, like I said, wanting to have more SAG actors and actresses in independent films.
That's a good thing because the industry's growing crazy right now.
Especially, and I got to be honest, especially here in New England.
Yeah.
We ain't got a lot going on like New York, L.A., and in Massachusetts, in what used to be Fort Devens, there definitely is a soundstage that is about to open up, and hopefully to attract both New York and L.A. producers, directors, yes, unfortunately, probably even actors, that would probably give some shot to some of us locals. I don't know if you know this, too, with the big films. I believe there's tons of talent here in New England.
There's plenty of talent in New England. This last film, Kill a Zombie, we hired 13 actors, and 12 of them were from Maine. One was from New Hampshire. And we had 165 actors try out for the film. And I'll tell you, we had to fight to get the people on. So, yeah, there's plenty of talent in New England.
Right. And so the point is, even with the studio coming up in Ayer, Mass., will they still play the same game? And that is the leads we already have penned in for actors in New York or in L.A. And then whatever bit roles we've got, we'll consider some locals from the New England area, which, is sad, and I don't know if the schism will ever disappear. I did read something recently where L.A. is hurting for movies being done in L.A. They're moving off. And, of course, Massachusetts has a real good tax incentive right now. And so, I just think more of us should be getting roles. I mean, speaking roles. I mean, personally, I've acted in 23 films in the past 3 years. Now, none of them have been the big boys. They've been student films with all the colleges around, including Hartford, and some serious independent ones where, I've had privileges of one biggie was, for me anyway, playing a mob boss that gets to knock off another one.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah, I can see me
do
doing that, too.
I can picture that. Seriously,
and I love it. And I've played many, many characters: professor, father, grandfather, cop, etc., etc. Even a priest in a film. But anyway, we can do this. We can do a lot of different things. I mean, what the heck? We're human, and we put our pants on the same. I don't know if you knew this, Shelley, but I actually did host my own live call-in men's radio talk program, actually a Christian program, in the greater Boston area for 13 years. And it was live call-in on local radio in the greater Boston area. And we interviewed people from literally all over the United States. And one guy asked me once, he says, don't you get intimidated interviewing these big people? Even Chubby Checker one time, we had him on via telephone and so forth and so on. I said, no, the guy puts on his pants the same way I do.
Yep.
And, yeah.
And that's true. We're all in this human melting pot together, and we should all, have the same mutual respect. Like Shelley, you're showing your guest, and Bill, you're being the guest. Both of you are really neat people, and you've got a lot, both of you, under your belts. And I don't know, can't we all just get along?
Can we all just
Well, I'm very much open. Like I says, I'm an action chick. I'm a ninja type of girl, and I always look for the character actors that, the quirky, nerds and the geeks. I'm a geek myself. Like, just those type of roles that I fall in love with, and able to learn about other cultures, and the ones with subtitles from, you know, Bollywood to Asia, a lot of Jackie Chan films, and seeing those beautiful, wonderful films and going, now, if I had the money to do, because I have the knowledge of what I've seen in other countries, if I had the money to do, I wouldn't know how to put it. And I know the talents. I know I've been networking for 10 years. It all it is money. I could get the people. It's just I'm not, how can I say, business? I don't know if you can say that. I'm trying to get the right terms out. But if I had the money, I could get the talent.
Welcome to film in New England.
Yep, that's what it is. And believe me, I mean, with my film, since, I mean, you guys probably see me writing, I mean, I only have 9 minutes to go left on here, but, I mean, you guys see me, I think I might have posted about a picture that was meant like $1 million to me. I actually got in contact with Jackie Chan.
Yes,
and
I remember
first
reading that.
Time, because everybody was so like, you know, Jackie's not going to talk to you and blah, 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 this and that. So, you know, his first time is Z's daughter won a contest and Jackie had sent her some stuff. And it was the very first time that look on my face, I was just so excited. That was the first contact with Jackie. That with his Facebook page, before millions of people went on to his page, people did not believe that it was Jackie's page. I go, that's Jackie. So he started talking to me on his Facebook page. And they're like, Shelley, you're making Jackie Chan's page up. I go, no, that's not me. And Jackie kept saying, why are you people being mean to me? It's me, it's me. So what he did, he connected his Facebook page to his website. And after that, that's when millions of people, and I was like, see, if you're really a Jackie Chan fan, you know, you will know that it's him. So I've got in contact with him, and I know with his will is way I can get that film to him. So it's just a matter of getting the funds for my dishwasher film, which is only $500 because I've got
right.
the talent and taking care of him. But like everybody else, we all are blue-collar people. And I just believe if anybody has a dream, they can go for it. And don't let anybody stop them. Everybody is really as good as anybody else.
I thought that's what I said.
I'm more of a pink collar than a blue collar.
Good for you.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. What, pink underwear with little hearts or something? I don't know.
No. No underwear.
It's just a pink
kilt. Free balling or something like that? I don't know.
No.
Hey, Bill, one quickie question. What service were you in?
I was in the Air Force.
Air Force, yeah. How long?
4 years.
Cool. And what was your job?
I worked in the missile silos.
What?
I worked in the missile silos.
Uh-huh.
The ICBM, you know, the Minuteman III, the nuclear warheads.
Cool. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. You're very welcome.
I was in the Navy for 6 years. I was a missile radar technician.
There you go. Thank you for your service.
I got some servicemen on here.
You.
Oh, I'm getting all hot and bothered right now.
And remember what I said? You're young, Bill?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I was in Vietnam for 5 months.
Well, wow. Wow, you're my dad's age.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And next month I'll be 68.
Yeah.
Yo, whoa, you I didn't know that. I thought you were younger, Al.
Nah, he's still got dark hair. He's kicking butt.
Yeah.
I got some gray there.
Wow,
and
you're even outdoing Jackie Chan.
And then I became a licensed union electrician, and I just retired.
Well, guys, nice. It's been awesome to have you guys on the show, and thank you so much. I don't mean to guys cut you off, but the show will cut
you guys,
everyone off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I chatted too long, Shelley.
I wish we had more time. I didn't realize the time. Believe me, I could talk for like 5 hours. I just don't want to be rude and cut you guys off because the show does shut down automatically and people will not be able to hear you. So thank you once again, Al, for being on the show, guest calling anytime.
Hey, it was my pleasure, and Shelley, I really appreciate it. The first time I've listened to the show, I like what you do, I like your voice, and I like the way you make somebody feel comfy. Bill, definitely. And hey, Bill, thank you for saying hello.
Thank you, Al. You have a good night, buddy.
All right, both of you, thank you. God bless you both.
Okay.
And
bless you, too.
break a leg, but make sure it heals up quickly.
Okay. Good night, Al.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was so sweet that he did call in. And, Bill, I wanted to say thank you so much for being my guest. I hope, you know, many blessings to you, and I hope you stay safe on set.
Thank you, hon. It was really great talking to you, and I had a really good time. Thanks for putting me on your show.
Well, thank you, and you have a safe night. And if you're working on set or whatever you're doing, and you take care, and best wishes and much, you know, much success for you, bro.
Same to you, kiddo. I'll see you later.
Okay. Have a good night. Well, everyone in the chat room, thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone there, Alan, Mr. Alan, Scott, guest, everyone that was in there, thank you so much for joining the show. Thank you, Al, for calling in, and thank you, everybody else that's been listening. And just like I always says, you know, anybody that has a dream, whether you want to act or something, you know, it's just one little step at a time. Because, you know, if I'm out here doing my thing, and I've been hanging on for 10 years and years, my big dream is to work with Jackie Chan, but you never can tell. You never can tell where your life is going to lead. So you hang on to your dreams, you reach for the stars, and you just go for it because you're as good as anybody else. Well, that's it for tonight's show. And I did want to say who's on September 3rd of Diamond in the Rough, a Charlie show, poet Jay Walker. Oh, yes, Jay Walker. I know Jay Walker. He's pretty cool. He's pretty awesome. But he's going to be a guest on her show, and it's September 3rd at 9 p.m. at night. Anyway, everyone, I'm going to leave you with an awesome, awesome song. It is actually a battle song, which is actually from a film where I'm playing a lead, Valkyrie. I'm playing a superhero, which is like the closest thing to Wonder Woman's ever get. And let me tell you, working in films, tired, yes, definitely. Anyway, everyone, have a good night, and just hold on to your dreams.